Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone. It's caught. Touchdown. Oh, my goodness.
The mark of fantasy excellence.
Yes. It's caught for a touchdown.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
And welcome back to hour number three of Roto Experts in the morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina, along with George Kurtz, Sean Engel producing our show. So, George, what's going on? Have you been involved in any fantasy baseball drafts as of yet, doing your mocks? Where do you stand in terms of your fantasy baseball preparation at this stage?
Well, I've done a bunch of mocks. I've done one live draft for SiriusXM. I have my home league on Wednesday that I'm looking forward to, and another league through RotoWire. I think is I forget which it might be. I think it's Thursday, and that's a big league. That league is 18 teams, 40 man rosters. It's wild, and that as well. So this will be a busy week for me as far as drafts are concerned. I'll have several other drafts in the last 2 weeks before the. Well, I don't want to say the regular season starts because technically the regular season does start on the 20th. That's when they're playing in Japan, Oakland, Seattle. But I do have some drafts that are happening after that, like 26th, 27th, before the, I guess, the mainstream opening day happens. So people have to remember that. Season starts actually on the 20th. Oakland, Seattle will play in Japan. I think Ichiro is going to be active for those two games, and then I think he'll retire after that. Well, maybe Seattle keeps him around because they're going to be a terrible team too. But I have some drafts going on. There's a keeper. I have a lot of keeper deadlines. I know that's coming up. I got to hand in my keepers as for what leagues I'm going to keep certain players in. I prefer keeper leagues. I think they add a little bit more strategy to your draft. They had the trade deadline the year before. You can't trade certain guys because you want to keep them. So I like keeper leagues more than I like redraft leagues, although I play in plenty of redraft leagues as well.
There you go. All right. Yeah, I've got three drafts coming up. Just completed the TGFBI draft, and that was a 15-team league challenging draft. But last segment, I had started talking about the younger stars in fantasy baseball. The two biggest names, Vlad Guerrero, Eloy Jimenez. Now, Guerrero, we've been talking about him, seems like forever. And looks like he's going to start the season in the minor leagues. But going in drafts, depending on your draft, in the 15-teamers, maybe third round, 12-teamers, maybe fourth, maybe fifth round, Eloy Jimenez, you could probably get him, what, eighth, ninth round? Of the two, I know one's a third baseman, one's an outfielder. I'm thinking that both might start the season in the minor leagues. Jimenez having a little bit of a difficulty in spring training, and his numbers aren't that great. Last I checked, he was batting about .130 so far this spring. But two prospects that are considered almost can't miss, if there is such a thing. But of the two, is there one of the two that you really are focused on in drafting in some of your leagues, upcoming leagues?
Yeah, they're both going to start the season in the minor leagues. It's all about, once again, delaying the free agent and arbitration dates. It's really what it's all about here. So you're not going to see either one until mid-April at the earliest. And that alone makes me, well, I'm not spending a third-round pick on Vladimir Guerrero. I'm just not. I mean, it's not like you're getting a 5-tool player here. He can't run. Anybody who's seen this man, he has the biggest backside I think I've ever seen on a player. It's like, oh, my God. You know, there's no way he's going to be a third baseman full-time. This season, sure. Obviously, next season, you'll get the eligibility. But after that, I expect he'll be a first baseman, DH. You know, they're going to have to move him. He's not going to be able to move at third base. He's not in shape, which is scary for a 20, what is it, 21? Really scary. He can hit, though. There's no doubt he can hit. Would it surprise me if he hits 30-plus home runs this year? I think if he played 162, he might hit 40. And he has that kind of ability. You know, obviously, it's in the genes. His dad had it, and he has it as well. But he's not going to steal bases for you. Toronto's a bad team. So I don't know how many RBIs you can truly expect from him. Runs could be an issue as well. Once again, guy can't run. So he'll be up in mid-April. I think he'll play about 140 games, and you go from there. But I'm not spending a third-round pick on him. That's just not happening. But that's me. I'm a conservative drafter. With my first couple of picks, generally first four or five picks, I'm not taking chances on guys. And Guerrero's a chance. One, we're assuming he comes up in mid-April. You know, what if he's not playing well and they start to hold him down even longer? You never know what these teams are going to do here as far as with the service time manipulation, which really you hope they fix in the next CBA. For the love of God, fix that. And Jimenez, you already said it. They have the ready-made excuse. He's only batting 130, so how can we could send him down. What if he doesn't hit the minors either? Does that make him think, hey, maybe another couple of weeks, maybe another month. You know, maybe he needs another 100 at-bats down there, whatever it might be. That being said, both players, as far as just performance, deserve to be up last year. So they're ready for the major leagues. They really have nothing left to prove at AAA. They don't. It's just a matter of when these teams want to, okay, now we got him for the extra year, we'll bring him up. Now he won't be a super two, we'll bring him up. That sort of thing here. I think as far as both, I certainly expect Guerrero to be up as soon as mid-April. Jimenez is the guy who worries me a little bit more because if he doesn't start to hit a little bit, and like I said, if he does have the same problem in the minor leagues, maybe they do hold him down a little longer. But I think that's also why, as you said, his ADP's, you know, two, three times as late. You can get around 8, 9. Maybe it goes around to double digits as our drafts keep going on here. I think both hit. I think both guys you're talking to, they play in great hitters' parks. You know, Toronto, the ball flies out to all fields. Chicago, once it warms up, same thing. They're two small ballparks there. I like both players, but odds are, Joe, I don't have any yet. And I in the mocks either. I didn't draft either one because I won't do them early. I don't expect. Right. I mean, maybe if I play in 8, 9 leagues, I might have one share of each. I think that's the most you'll see from me.
All right, Nationals outfielders at this stage. Soto, Juan Soto coming back, had a very nice inaugural season, .292 batting average, 22 home runs, a little over 400 at-bats. But now we have Victor Robles coming in, and when you look at his ADP, it looks like he's going in 102 is his overall ADP, so it puts him, you know, around, I guess, around, I don't know, 12 or so. How confident are you in a Victor Robles in terms of compare him to maybe a Jimenez?
Well, remember, Victor was the higher prospect than Juan Soto. The reason Soto got up last year and Robles didn't, right, because Robles had the injury. So Soto got the chance, obviously excelled at it. So you can look at it that way. The bad news is we're hearing he's going to bat eighth. Eighth. Why you would do that to a top prospect is beyond me. I mean, really beyond me, because you know teams are not going to pitch to him a lot. You know, two outs, he's going to get walked so they can face the pitcher. You know, so I hate that. Some of his value, I don't want to say a lot of his value, but some of his value is in the fact that he can run. Well, yes. Once again, if you're batting eighth, you're not going to run. They're not going to want you to get thrown out in front of the pitcher and have the pitcher lead off. So I hate the fact that he's going to, I mean, I don't think it would be all season, mind you. You know, but I don't know how long it'll be. Half a season, quarter, third. We don't know how long it'll be. So I think that depresses his value to me. Plus, listen, Washington's not a good hitter's park. It's a pitcher's ballpark. So that's concerning as well. That'll keep his numbers down here. Plus, he's a rookie. He's going to have to make adjustments. What happens? So, once again, I'll be scared away. It's double-digit rounds for me before I'll think about it, and I expect someone else to, you know, go on the bandwagon. Once again, I'm talking about redraft leagues here. If you're talking about a keeper, a dynasty league, it's a little different. Because then I can keep him forever here. I might rethink some of this. But as far as a redraft league, you're not going to see me once again with Victor Robles on my team, on many of my teams, if any, because I won't take him around seven and hope for the best. You know, I want guys who I know what they're going to do. I only go for hope, Joe, when, oh my God, everything went wrong. I keep getting sniped. You know, I'm on the wrong end of runs here. I got to start taking some upside guys. And that, to me, is what Robles is. It's what Guerrero is, too. You know, Jimenez. I like to be able to look on the, go online here, look at a guy's stats and go, hey, all right. He's pretty much 3-4 years. He averages 28 home runs. You know, drives in 92 runs, steals 8 base, whatever it might be. I can go, okay, this is about what he's going to do. I can pencil him in for that. But with these guys, you know, the youngsters, you have no idea. You can't translate their minor league numbers to the majors. It's just not the same thing. He's going to bat eighth for a while. There's too many chances for me. If the value's there, if he goes where I think he should go, fine. But once again, so many owners like the young players. They like the shiny new toys because they haven't failed yet. Right, they haven't failed. They haven't pissed any owners off. They haven't cost an owner a league. So they'll take a shiny young new toy, and they'll take him, in my mind, rounds earlier than they probably should.
A young guy that you could take in the later rounds, and this gives us an opportunity to talk a little bit about the Reds' outfield, Jesse Winker. If you look at his ADP, put him, like, let's say, around 17th round of a 12-team league. His ADP is just about 199 or so, according to NFBC. Winker, in limited play, has had a pretty decent batting average for the Reds past couple seasons, 400 at-bats, 299. And then you look at the rest of this outfield. He's penciled in as their starting second baseman. But they have a crowded outfield right now. Matt Kemp is there. They traded for Puig, Yasiel Puig, who's penciled in as their starting right fielder. Nick Senzel, standout prospect, originally was a second baseman. Then looks like they had wanted to try to get him to play center field. Scott Schebler is still in the mix, a guy that probably won't hit for high average, but has an opportunity to hit upwards of, you know, upper 20s home run, maybe even 30 or so. Where do you stand in terms of this Reds outfield? Talk to me a little bit first about your thoughts on Jesse Winker.
Well, it's going to be hard for me to buy into him because you can make an argument that their starting outfield is Kemp, Senzel, and Puig. What does that put him in? Best case scenario, was it a timeshare with Kemp? You know, righty-lefty thing going on? Which, granted, would give him the better part of that timeshare, because he's the lefty. You'll face more right-handers. So that you could look at it that way. But I'm not going to bank on this. You know, I think the kid probably deserves to play. You know, I think they took on Kemp because, once again, you got a good deal there. She didn't want to take it on the salary. But what's going to happen with Matt Kemp? Is he just going to bench him? You're going to play Winker full-time? I have a hard time seeing that. You know, I have an incredibly hard time. What if Winker gets off to a slow start and Kemp doesn't? Then Kemp's going to play more. He's the veteran who's done it before, which most managers like. And, you know, we complain about Kemp a lot. But last year, 21 home runs, 85 RBIs, he batted 290. I mean, those are solid numbers. Not great by any means, but they're solid numbers. And theoretically, he should do better in Cincinnati. It's a bandbox of a ballpark, so the home runs should certainly go up. If you're worried about his defense, well, it's a bandbox of a ballpark, not anywhere near as much ground to cover. So that should help him out, because granted, he's generally not in the greatest of shape. So, like I said, it's going to be hard for me to trust Winker in anything but the later rounds. You know, take a shot on him, a flyer on him. Once I keep a Dynasty League, it's a little different, because Kemp won't be around there forever. I might feel differently, even though Winker's, I wouldn't call him a top prospect, but he's a prospect. But they have right now, you mentioned Schebler, too. He's going to get some playing time. Too many cooks in the kitchen here for me. I won't be taking Winker unless like, so the value's there late. And by late, I mean post-round 12.
All right. Let's take a quick look at the Rockies. David Dahl penciled in as the starting left fielder there. Here's a guy, a lot of talent, just has been derailed over his career with some injuries. Having a decent spring, batting 280, but a guy that could give you home run power, has shown that he could steal a base in terms of his minor league career. But a lot of moving parts in that Rockies roster when you look at it, right? Like I said, he's penciled in as a starting left fielder. You have Ian Desmond going to be their center fielder. Yeah, you still got Raimel Tapia, talented outfielder there. And then the whole situation with Ryan McMahon and Hampson fighting for playing time at second base, both of them putting up good numbers in the spring. Talk to me first about David Dahl. Do you take a chance on him this year and hope that he could give you the 400-500 at-bats and stay healthy? Because he's got the skill set.
I truly don't understand how the Rockies go about things. I don't. I mean, you sign Daniel Murphy, you don't need him. Hampson could have played second, leave McMahon alone at first. All right, you signed Ian Desmond, you didn't need him. You know, now you play him in center field? Boy, how's that going to work out for you? The way I look at it, I think Dahl, Desmond, and Tapia, that's three guys for two spots. You know, I think they may do some kind of rotation there. You know, cause I don't know if Desmond can handle that full-time center field job. And if and when he proves he can't, that's a problem. He's not going to. Blackman's who's playing every day and right, so we're not worried about that. So it's really Dahl. It could end up being Dahl and Desmond in left. Or Dahl could end up losing playing time here. Listen, I like Dahl. I think they should leave him the hell alone, just like they should leave McMahon alone. Let this man play, let him, and see what damage he can do here. But I don't think they're going to do that. I think they think about things backwards. You know, like I said, I would have never spent the money on Desmond. We would have never spent the money on Murphy. Go out the pitching. It's what you need here. Your hitters come. They're easier to find here. You seem to be trying to force these. The top, you could be a fine center field. The Dahl should be left alone and left. So I'm a little bit worried about playing time here. But I'm not shying away from him. It is Colorado. The ball obviously travels there better. But once again, I think there's going to be an issue here. And Dahl is another guy, you know, Joe, he hasn't proven it yet. We know he can hit.
Right.
We've seen it in stints and short spurts, but he hasn't done it yet over a long period of time. So it's hard for me to pull that trigger on him. I mean, last year, 16 home runs, 48 RBIs, batted 273, 249 at-bats. That's fantastic. You know, you prorate that, that's 30-plus home runs, over 100 RBIs. And we like that. He might even steal double-digit bases for you. That's extremely valuable. You want that. But I just don't know if he's ever going to get those 600 at-bats. I can see 450 at-bats, you know, somewhere around there where he plays two-thirds of the time, which, once again, three outfields for two spots. He played two-thirds of the time. That's sort of what I'm seeing here. So I think I had to prorate my numbers for two-thirds playing time, not a full-time job.
Right. By the way, Dahl going just about the sixth round in 12-team leagues as per his NFBC ADP. As we head out to commercial, any of these two guys here, the Padres outfield that you would think might get a chance to win a job, Framil Reyes and Franchi Cordero. I mean, right now that outfield is looking like it's going to be Will Myers. Looks like in center field they're going to give Manny Margot another shot. And I think the guy that I like the best is Hunter Renfro to get the most at-bats out of there.
I've been trying to trade for Renfro in a league, and I can't get the owner to pull the trigger. I tried.
Had a nice second half.
Yeah, I think he's a buy low guy. I really think he's a buy low guy. But once again, the owner obviously believes in him too, so I can't have been able to pry him loose. Though I keep trying, Joe. I think Will Myers is a failed outfield. He doesn't want to play the outfield. Wants to play the infield. So we'll see how that works out. I have hope in all of them, but then again, they were interested in Harper, which means I'm not so sure the Padres have hope in all of them.
Good point. When we come back, continue talking some fantasy baseball. Look for Power Speed late in drafts. We have some names for you. You're listening to Roto Experts in the Morning. I've got to run away.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto Package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Gotta love the Scorpions. Rock you like a hurricane. We're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning. Joe Glenn and George Kurtz. Sean Engel producing our show. I really like the Scorpions. Were they one of your bands in the 80s there? Were the hair bands
one
for
of the
you?
First one of the first concerts I saw was Scorpions at the Nassau Coliseum. I wouldn't put them as one of my bands, no. I mean, I don't mind them. Mm-hmm. Like Hurricanes and Cartoon. Yeah. I know I have the greatest hit CD somewhere, but they wouldn't be in my top 25.
Yeah. I actually like them a lot. I was just looking. They're going to be touring in Europe if you want to go. They'll be in Germany and Portugal and France, June and July, if you could swing it.
So I'm not going.
No? All right.
No. Can't swing it anyway. But no. Not happening.
All right. Just throwing it out there. All right. So we were talking fantasy baseball, talking some of the younger players in the last segment. I wanted to touch upon, I was taking a look, just for late round value. And I used Steamer projections to find some guys that could you could get that. Give you some power numbers and then some steals. Not necessarily both, not one player giving you both, but some names that, steals are such a premium still, right? But Steamer projections are used by the Fangraphs website, a very good resource for you to use. And you know what? Fangraphs, I signed as a membership, whatever, and it's a small fee to become a member, and you get ad-free experience on their website, because if you don't, then it really slows you down. I've been trying to, my membership ran out, and it says, do you want to renew? And I'm like, yeah, keep on clicking the link. And it won't take me to the link, so I got to figure out how to do that, because Fangraphs are a really great resource. But George, when you're dealing with all those ads, when you're not officially a member, it really slows you down.
Oh, you're absolutely right. My guess is you should contact them and find it, because that's weird that the link doesn't work to renew.
Sort of
lifeblood of the business here. You
exactly.
Think they want that.
Yeah. Hopefully it's not. So, hopefully it's just me and not everybody else. Yeah. So, like I said, I was looking at these Steamer projections, and we'll just take a look at a few of these names. And look, we're talking 15th round or later in 12-team drafts, so a lot of these players are going to have their flaws. But, hey, by round 15, you probably have a lot of your ducks in a row, we'll say, in terms of putting your team together. But the first guy, let's take a look at CJ Krohn for the Twins. Steamer projects him to have a .261 batting average, 24 home runs, 75 RBI, 30 home runs last year. Started out his career, I believe, with the Angels. Then he was with the Rays last year. But I think if this guy gets his 500 at-bats, good mid-20 home run range. What are your thoughts on CJ Krohn?
It's funny. I was just offered a trade for him last night that I turned down.
Really?
In that, mm-hmm. I was offered, they wanted William Contreras. Not Wilson, William Contreras, mm-hmm. minor leaguer, Wilson's brother, catcher for the Braves there. And I turned mm-hmm. it down. I just wasn't, my problem with Krohn is the power's legit. I think we know that. Mm-hmm. The man can hit. He's got plenty of pop. A lot of guys mm-hmm. there, though. Krohn, Tyler Austin, Lucas Duda. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a lot of guys who could do the same thing there. I think at the very least, he might be in a timeshare with Duda. righty-lefty thing. Once again, he'd be on the wrong side of that because he's the righty. So a lefty might play more. What are you going to do with Tyler Austin? You send him back down? You know, he's not going to play DH. You got Nelson Cruz. So that's why I turned the deal down. I'm worried about playing time. You know, even though I don't think William Contreras is anything big as far as a catcher in the Braves system. I think he's a decent prospect. He might be a number one catcher, but he won't be. He's not going to be Gary Sanchez or Real Muto or someone like that. He's not. I'm not even sure he'll be or something. I don't think he'll be. He has no power. You know, I don't know. Fantasy wise, I don't know where he'll truly help you other than average a number two catcher in two catcher leagues. By the way, I think all fantasy leagues should go to one catcher. I think two catcher leagues is become idiotic, especially in only leagues. Then you're really nuts. All right, come on. What are there, 7, 8 catches total in baseball? We like. I mean, now you got a 15-team league. You need 30. That's a joke. That's just a joke. So
yeah, and
go
a
two-teamer.
You're punting. You're punting. That's at least that second. That catching.
Yeah, you punt both.
Yeah, unless you go early, and I don't like to go early on catchers.
I hate catchers. You know, hate them. Right up there with kickers.
Justin Smoak for the Blue Jays. His ADP is 235. Again, another a guy that in a 12-team league, get him after the 15th round. Look, that 2017 season where he batted 270, 38 homers, that's an outlier. But last year, batting average was 242, 25 home runs. And Steamer predicts another 26 home runs and 80 runs batted in, 239 batting average. Again, a lot of these players that I'm going to mention do have some flaws, but you know, the 25 plus home run potential is there. I'm a little worried about Rowdy Tellez eventually taking some of his at bats. But what are your thoughts about Justin Smoak for the Blue Jays?
Well, listen, he's being drafted late. All right, so obviously, if you're drafting somebody this late, they have some holes. All right, and his holes is the average. Obviously, he could come with an average that hurts you. I mean, if he was batting 260, which technically would still hurt you, but you could live with it. You know, you have guys that offset that. It's a 235 he might come with, because the home runs for a corner infielder or DH utility player are fine. You'll take up a 20, 28, 29 home runs. You'll take that. You know, the RBIs, well, it depends on who gets on base in front of it, but the power should be there. So as a corner infielder, I like him, but that average is a concern. He's not someone I will draft late unless I have, you know, two plays who can offset that average. And I may not have that. You know, it's tough to draft guys like this because he's pretty much a one-category guy. That's the power, which we need. But generally, we need average more. Average is very tough to quantify because it's tough to keep track of during the draft. You know, what I do during drafts, Joe, is this. With all the counting categories, I know how much it'll take to win that category. You know, let's just say you play in your home league for 30 years. Just take the past 5 years. Do an average. Okay, the average over the past 5 years, it takes 290 home runs to win my home league. Well, then you got Justin Smoak. Okay, that's 28 home runs. Yeah, be honest, be with yourself, be reasonable. You think he's going to hit 28?
Sure.
Okay, now you need 262 to win that category. And you can do that with all the counting categories. You know, home runs, RBIs, runs, stolen bases, wins, strikeouts, and saves. Right, it's the ratios that are harder to quantify, mainly because they're harder to do the average during a draft. You know, unless you have, you're spending 3 minutes per pick, you'll be fine. But if you're doing under a minute per pick, you don't have a lot of time to keep doing the average, the ratios. You know, those averages are much tougher unless you can do it in your head or get a good idea of where you're at in your head. So that's what I mean about that. Well, that's also what you can do for averages is what I tend to do is I believe, once again, you got to figure it out in your league, but the league average of fantasy is generally around 268. So if I draft, Smoak, who I expect about 239, why I'm now minus 29 in that category, and I need to make that up, which means I need to draft somebody 297, or you know, two guys who bat 13 points above it, whatever. You got to keep doing that, and it's hard to make that because not too many guys bat for a high average nowadays. You know, everything's all about power. So you draft two or three guys that are going to bat 245, it puts you in a hole. It just puts you in a hole, so you can be very careful. But that's also why I do the breakdown of my of the counting categories. If it takes 290 home runs to win my home run category, I don't need to draft 410. I've gone overboard. You know, that's why you got to be very careful. I don't need to draft another home run guy if I already have 330 home runs. I better go find an average guy. It's hard for us to do that sometimes because we look at that average guy or that stolen base guy as a lesser player. And that's how you play the game wrong. Then go play in a points league. That's what you want to do, play in a points league. You know, but if you're playing in a rotisserie league, you have to learn you need to draft a team. Not just the best players, a team. And that's what I think. That's where so many of us screw it up. You know, around 14, Billy Hamilton's there. That's your stolen bases. You draft him, but it's also going to come with a hit to your average. You better know damn well that, yes, the points that he gets me in stolen bases will more than make up the points I lose in average. Then it's a net plus. You do what you have to do. That's why it's a tricky game. If you're playing it right, it's a tricky game in rotisserie. If you don't want to do that, you know, if you just want to draft the best players, play in a points league. Then you just draft all your home run guys. Draft all your RBI guys. It's an easier game to play points than it is a rotisserie league.
Yep. Similar to you, I was involved in a couple of 15-teamers, kind of took a look at what the better teams, the first-place teams, what their end numbers were. And like you, in terms of my drafts, I try to keep track. But you're right. Batting average is a little tougher to project. But, you know, you could do that with your counting stats with the home runs and the stolen bases and whatnot. But that's definitely a good way to handle your good draft strategy.
It all depends on how serious you want to be about it. You know, if you're in a fun home league, hey, do what you want to do. But if you're in a money league, you know, and listen, I mean, I know people will find any excuse. Well, this is a first year league. We can't do that. Sure, you can. You can go online, you can find out what the average is of most leagues, of most 12 team leagues with these categories. You can do it. Do you want to put the work in or not? You know, if you're in an auction league, you should have a dollar amount next to every player that you believe you should go for. And if you don't want to do the work yourself, you can print one out. There are plenty of places you can go online, you can print one out, and it'll give you an idea of how an auction. Every auction is different, mind you. You know, if I'm in a league with Joe Gallini, he throws out, Justin Smoke first, well, that might throw off his price a little bit, that if Justin Smoke was throwing out 285th. The price is a little different there, so auctions are a little tougher, but you'll get an idea of how much a player should go for. It's like I said, there's so many things you can do depending on how serious you want to be about the league and how much you really want to win the league. You know, like I said, your home league, fun with the guys, and there's no money prize, you know what, the loser has to do something stupid, the winner gets a trophy. Hey, do what you want. Yeah, really, do what you want. I still take those seriously, but I admit my home league, I don't do quite as much work either, mainly because I assume, you know, doing what I do, that's just all I do. I should know what I'm doing. I know better than these guys anyway. So, but if I'm playing a league with other, you know, people who know what they're doing, it's a little different. I know I got to really work at it. These guys aren't going to make any mistakes. They're not going to be drafting their favorite team's players. You know, in my home league there, I have Yankee fans, and I know Yankees are going to go earlier than they should. You know, I'm not talking about Judge and Stanton, but other Yankees will go earlier than they should because we have Yankee fans and they're going to love their players. We have Met fans. They're going to love their players. Yeah, it's not the way you should draft, but once again, fantasy should be fun. So if you want all your favorite players, hey, go for it. And the opposite holds true, too. You and I are Yankee fans. Doesn't mean Joe Gleena and I aren't taking Red Sox players. If they're the best player on the board, I'll take my Red Sox players. But I know damn well in my home league, there'll be guys who won't because they hate the Red Sox or they hate the Phillies. So in Bryce Harper, no. We can't have Bryce Harper on our team because we can't root for him. It's funny how it works. It makes me laugh during the draft. And my home league's a money league. It's going to cost us, at the end of the year, about $200 a piece. Yet these guys aren't drafting certain players because they hate that team. I'll take your money.
Can't do that. Yeah, I took J.D. Martinez overall pick number 12, which I thought was a bargain in TGFBI. So yeah, I'll take a Red Sox player as a Yankee fan. I even took Devers way deep in my draft.
I love Devers this year.
Nice bounce back. By the way, I got a notification about Vlad Guerrero Jr. He's going to be out for 3 weeks. Suffers a grade 1 oblique strain. So,
hate obliques.
Yeah.
That means because the problem with obliques is that even when he believes he's healthy, you really don't know until you let it go. It's so easy to re-injure again.
You test it with a swing, right?
How else can you do it?
Re-injure it.
But you know what? It's so. I guess once again, they'll soft towards first and hope. It's very tricky. It's not good. It's probably the worst. The re-injury I fear most for a baseball player is any kind of oblique. The good news for the Blue Jays is, now at least they don't have to answer the questions of why you sent them down and how they went to lie that it was because of, he needs to work on his defense, which granted he does. But we all knew that was a lie to cover for so they'll be able to keep him longer. Now, 3 weeks, that means he doesn't start hitting again until early April. The timeline may not change much if they're correct about the 3 weeks. And it takes him 2 weeks to get back in form there. Mid-April is still a possibility here. So really, nothing may change that way, but now there's more risk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be. I'm not, listen, I wasn't drafting him anyway, Joe. But now I do wonder if his ADP gets back to where it should be. Instead of, you mentioned round three, round four, maybe it's round six, round seven. I feel much more comfortable taking him there.
He's a fun player to draft who has a lot of upside, but with you, where he was going was a little too early for me. I mean, I've only completed one draft. I have three more coming up, but I didn't expect to draft him based on his where he was going. But 3 weeks with an oblique strain, so we'll obviously be very interested to see what happens in terms of his recuperation. So let's take a look at a couple of second basemen that you could get after round 15. Jonathan Scope is now with the Twins, second baseman. His ADP is 182. Steamer projects him for a 266 batting average, 22 home runs, 70 runs batted in. Had an oblique. It's funny. He had an oblique injury last season. And then he had a trade that sent him over to the Brewers, which didn't agree with him. But last year's BABIP was 35 points below his career average. So I think that this year, I mean, his career average is a 258, so I think that he could bounce back a little bit. But what do you think about that projection of a bounce back for Jonathan Scope for the Twins?
I'm on board. Mm-hmm. I think, listen, maybe the trade from Baltimore to Milwaukee, the first time he's ever been moved, threw him off last year. Changing leagues, I think, is also a thing that hurts players sometimes. They're not used to the pitchers. I know this is interleague play, but still, you don't see these guys all that often. So I think this played a part in it as well. So I'm on board with Scope as a rebound here. Listen, I'd rather have him as a middle infielder than a second baseman. You know, and Minnesota's not the hitter's ballpark that he had in Camden or Milwaukee, but Minnesota's still a decent hitter's ballpark. It's not terrible. I like what the, you know, I wrote an article of rebound candidates, and man, there were a lot of Twins I wanted to put on this list. I didn't put Scope on it because I wanted to put Buxton and Kepler on it. All right, so I didn't want to fill. You know, it would have been rebound Twins candidates more than a rebound candidates. But I like Scope. I think once again for a middle infielder, I think you're gonna get 20 plus home runs, not 30. You know, I'm not going off the deep end here, but I think he'll get 20-plus home runs. I think he's more comfortable back in the American League. I hope he is because I'm buying in here. I think you'll get a respectable average, not one that's going to hurt you, which is what I'm looking for here. He batted .233 last year with Baltimore Walker. He batted .293 the year before that. I'm cutting the difference. You know, 267, 265, somewhere in there. Hurt you technically, that's but not enough where I'm going to be worried about it. I'll take the home runs. I'll take the ribbies. No speed to count to worry about here. That's why he's a middle infielder, not a second baseman.
Right. We'll continue talking fantasy baseball strategy here at Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the Morning. Joe Galina, George Kurtz, talking fantasy baseball with you. The Prince, Sean Angle, producing our show. Remember to stay tuned. Weekend Fantasy Update with Cam Stewart and the aforementioned George Kurtz. George, what's going on with the show today?
Well, I'm supposed to be more Antonio Brown extravaganza. I'm following Twitter, and Steeler fans, of course, trying to defend the trade. How it's a good deal. Yeah, good luck with that money. You got a third and a fifth. All right. I can't see how that's a good deal there. Vladimir Guerrero is not going to be a big news, right? Because he's out at least 3 weeks. It's funny. Keith Law is a scout, and he's also a former assistant general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. After hearing the news, he wrote, "How convenient." You know, what he's trying to say there is, maybe it's easy, he's not as bad as people are making it out to be, but now this is the Blue Jays' excuse to keep him down. Which, it's a conspiracy theory, but not one that I would throw out the door, because I already mentioned it. 3 weeks, puts him back April 1st, same timetable, mid-April. Funny how that works out. You know, and obliques generally can last longer than 3 weeks if it's a worse tear. So, I don't know. Maybe there's something to it. Maybe there's not. But you would think, wouldn't Vlad just come out and say, "No, my oblique's fine, buddy. I don't know what you're talking about."
Yeah, right.
So it'd be dangerous to tell, listen, can you lie about this because, you know, we want to keep you down? Why would the player go along with that? I mean, what benefit does he have? You know, so strange. But that'll be big because, like I said, that has to affect his ADP. And this will be a heavy draft week. I don't think it'll be the busiest draft week. I think that's going
to
be next week.
Right, but it's starting to ramp up. Yes.
But it's starting to ramp up. Listen, first game technically is 10 days away. Hey, it's 10 days away. Are you going to wake up and watch those games, Joe?
I'm serious. Don't know if I'll set an alarm. Probably not. No. You?
Yeah, me either. No, I'll probably record it, and then I think they're on school day, so I'll wake up when at 7:30 when I wake up and get my daughter. I'll watch it while they're getting him ready for school. But to wake up,
yeah, it'll probably be on as I get ready to start my day. Yeah, I'm up early anyway.
5:30.
I don't get up at 5, but like 5:45. So it'll definitely be on in the background for some period of time. But no, I won't be.
If it was the Yankees, I might get up.
Yeah, definitely. I'd like to see that. Yankees
still probably not. I think I'd still record the game. Yeah, they played the Rays.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah. Probably about 10 years ago.
Yeah, was it 10? Oh, my God.
I'm just guessing here. It may be longer. I don't know if I lived in this house when the Yankees played. I don't remember. I think I remember living in my apartment. Yeah. But I could be wrong about that. But even for the Yankees, I'm probably not getting up. I would just record the game. You know, you don't watch any social media, you won't find anything out. So it should be good. But making up, I don't know. I'm not positive what time these games start. But I know usually in the past, they're around 5:30, somewhere around there. I find that weird. Why baseball couldn't? What is Japan about 12 hours ahead of us?
I'm not 100% sure, but they definitely are ahead.
They're about 12 hours. I know my wife's Filipino. I know they're 12 hours ahead, so I assume Japan's in the same time zone there.
Close,
but I wonder why why wouldn't you start the game at 7 their time and 7 a.m. our time? Wouldn't that be better? What do they want the games over before rush hour, before 9? Do they really think people are waking up early? I mean, think about that. I don't get the logic behind that. I'd like to hear why baseball does that. You would think starting the game at 7, 8, all right, people are going to work, but at least they can listen to the game on the radio. You know, and just these social media on your phones, we could watch the game easy and or follow it. So a little strange that ESPN, that baseball starts it when they do. And I said ESPN, I think they're probably covering the games. It's not like they would want the game on at 5. Their ratings can't be all that great either.
Come on, baseball, snap out of it. So we were talking some late round power guys or guys that could steal some bases for you. We'll get to that. But you mentioned Byron Buxton as a rebound candidate because we were talking Jonathan Scope. What do you think about what Buxton's doing and Lewis Brinson? Buxton, actually, when you look at his draft, he's Brinson, his ADP is 461 for the Marlins. And Buxton, I think he's like in the 170 range. Both top prospects, both have disappointed, but at least Buxton has had some success. You know, he had that 2017 season where he hit 16 home runs, 29 stolen bases, .253. Always had the great glove, which kept him in the lineup.
Right. We know he can field with the best of them. Which in some ways is worrisome because he crashes into walls, dives, and you worry about injuries there. You mentioned, I mean, he's had some success, sort of. I mean, in 17, he hit, 16 home runs, 51 ribbies, 29 stolen bases, batted .253. That's some success. Listen, if you're drafting Buxton, then it's pretty simple. You're going for the stolen bases. Anything else you get is gravy. You know, he hits you 16, 20 home runs, you're thrilled. All right, if he does that, hey, that's fantastic. But you're looking for the stolen bases. And I know for me, stolen bases is the hardest category for me to fill. Every year I have the same problem. I don't like paying for it. I don't like drafting a D. Gordon or Billy Hamilton just to steal me bases. It's why, you know, if I have a middle pick in the first round, between that 5 and 8 range, I'm on board with drafting Trey Turner. You know, I'm getting a great player who does more than steal bases, and I've solved my stolen base problem. Not that Trey Turner alone is going to win it for me. He's not, but he almost assures me being a top three. Right. He almost assures me being top three, top five. And if I had one other guy, you know, decent guy, I keep moving up. And I don't have to draft. I don't have to worry about, you know, drafting an eighth-round pick on Hamilton, sixth-round on D. Gordon, who I know that's all they do. They had nothing else. You know, so that's why I'm on board with drafting Trey Turner. I've done it I think the one of the live leagues I played in, I've drafted him. And I'm very happy to have done that because now I don't have to worry about stolen base or trading for it during the year. It's easier to find power than it is to find steals. You know, baseball has changed. Baseball is just not running as much. It's the old sabermetrics thing, and out is too important. You know, unless you're successful about 80% of the time, most teams don't like you to run. Not just to steal a base. Hit and runs are a little different, things like that. But as far as straight steals, they really like you to be successful 80% of the time. That's the number where they think it's worth the risk of an out. So, it's dangerous. It's just dangerous for me when it comes to stolen bases. They're hard to find. So I'm very careful there. And Buxton is a player. Listen, we start 5 outfielders. I mean, you mentioned you're in 15-team leagues. That's 75 outfielders right there. Listen, there are 30 baseball teams, 3 outfielders. That's 90 outfielders. We're starting 75. And not every team has 3 starters. A lot of teams have platoons somewhere. I don't think there are 75 starting outfielders in baseball. So I'm more than willing to take a shot at Buxton. We need the outfielders anyway. We're all going to have a bad outfielder or two, especially in 15-team leagues. So you might as well take a chance on a guy who could at least solve your stolen base problems if... I shouldn't say solve, but he can go a long way to helping his stolen base problems if he can figure it out this year. I don't need him to. I'm not drafting him to be a superstar. I'm not drafting him to be a superstar. He is going to hit 20 home runs, bat 280, and steal 40 bases. No, I'm not drafting for that. I'm hoping. Once again, it's the average that doesn't crush me. So he bats 253 again. I'm not thrilled about it, but I can live with that. Steal me 35, 40 bases. You know, hit me in the teens and home runs. I'll take it and run. For where I'm drafting you, for what I'm expecting, I will take that and run. I think if you're asking anything more, you're kidding yourself. Now, if you think he's going to be an MVP candidate and hit 20-plus home runs, bat 280, and steal 60 bases, well, good luck with that. But when I do my little penciling in, when I do my minuses of what I think he's going to do, it's not that. It's not even close to that.
So let's take a look at a couple of the guys that you could get in later rounds that might give you some steals. Steamer projection for Garrett Hampson. We talked about the Rockies before. His ADP is like 197 or so, according to NFBC. Steamer has him at a 291 batting average, 5 home runs, 32 runs batted in, and 15 steals. But they have him as a part-time player. Now, this is a dangerous situation because you're still getting him a little later in drafts, but we talked about the battle between him and Ryan McMahon with the Rockies. So, you might get the 15 steals, might get 20 steals. He's got amazing speed, but the thing is he going to get enough at-bats? Could be platooned.
The Rockies are so ass backwards in how they do things. They really are. McMahon's your first base, now you're moving him to second base. How the hell is this going to work out? Is he going to be any kind of defensive player? I mean, at all? I mean, I don't even know. I'd say that I find this is an interesting little situation. I think it's asinine. You know, I would have never signed Murphy. I would have just played Hampson at second, McMahon at first. There you go, move on. You know, you solve two problems. You don't spend all the money you spent on Murphy. You can load up on some pitching. Maybe you could have kept Altavino, which would have been nice for them to keep him. So I just think it was it's crazy what they're doing here. I read it the same way you do. I think it will be some kind of platoon. Maybe Hampson wins out because McMahon can't field the ground ball, has no range, you know, can't turn a double play, whatever it might be. You know, just to say, you play first, go play second. We'll give you a shot there. It doesn't work that way. It really doesn't work that way in baseball. Maybe he's a great athlete and he'll be able to figure it out, but I have my doubts here. But I think he's going to cut in to enough of Hampson's playing time. Best case scenario now is really a middle infielder. You know, because he's a guy I look at late because I want those stolen bases. You know, anybody who steals double-digit stolen bases is of interest to me because I know in most leagues I'm going to be struggling there. I'm going to be looking for it. I think Hampson played every day. You know, if he played 140 games, I think he steals 25-30. But, well, what they're going to do to him, I mean, I think you'd have to look for half that and hope he wins out on that platoon here. So I probably like him more than I like McMahon, even though I think McMahon's a better player. But I don't think McMahon's going to succeed at second base. He'll need first base to come into play for him. And does Daniel Murphy get hurt? Because I know Murphy's going to hit, so he's not going to lose the job because he can't hit. And he'll field well enough at first to keep the job, so he's home for an injury there. I said, the last couple of years, I have not understood really anything the Rockies have done.
Yeah, I agree with you. Puzzling.
Watch him bring back Cargo and screw over David Dahl, too.
Wouldn't surprise me. They love Cargo, right? Shortstop that could give you some stolen bases, Quintus Themer. I like this guy, and you talked about the Twins being an interesting team. Jorge Polanco, 214 ADP. Steamer has him for a 272 batting average, 14 home runs, 16 stolen bases. Yeah, I mean, after the 15th round, getting double-digit home runs and stolen bases, yeah, I'll take that as my middle infielder.
So will I. Once again, when you're in your later round, when you're in the later rounds, you know, you mentioned round 15, whatever it might be that he goes, you should be looking to fill categories. Yeah, if you need stolen bases, you said it. He's probably, on a full season, he's probably going to steal 15, 16 bases. There you go. He's your middle infielder. It's really that simple. You know, I'll say it again. This is why you need to do what I said earlier, where you minus, you know, hey, 200, I have 330 home runs. I already have too many home runs. Don't draft the middle infielder who's going to hit more home runs but steal no bases for you if you already have enough to win that category. And what are you doing? Look for the other categories you need to fill. Generally, that'd be speed or average. You know, that's what you're worried about. So you got to look for those kind of guys. So you need to fill a complete team. You get no extra points by winning your home run category by 120. You know, right. Saying you're going to get the same 12, 15 points, whatever size league you're in. That's it. You know, so that's why I'm very careful with that, not to overload at any one position because it won't help me any. Now, unless I get a trade, you can look at it that way. If you want to look at it at a trade, sure. But most teams, once again, and especially in more competitive leagues, you know, I look at Joe Gallina. Oh, Joe has all these home run guys. He can't use them all. I'm not going to offer him full price. That's the problem. You're not going to get full price for those players. I'm going to know that Joe has to get rid of one. You know, so I'll offer him 75 cents on the dollar to get that player. You know, so that's the way it works a lot. And I've known guys in leagues who have drafted multiple players at the same position because they think, oh, I'll be able to trade and work out. It almost never works out.
Yeah, exactly.
Trading's hard to do in the first place. No one likes to trade anymore, Joe. I mean, everyone's afraid that you know, people like you and I are going to criticize the trade and say you're an idiot. So no one deals at all. And to assume you're going to be able to deal because you're going to draft, you know, 4 second basemen, and you'll be able to trade one to somebody for full price or more than full price to someone who doesn't have a second baseman, yeah, good luck with that. Let me know how that works out for you. Generally, it doesn't. And they're certainly not right away. The other team will try the waiver wire first, see if they can find somebody there. So I said I prefer just to make sure I have a well-rounded team. That's not to say there won't be times where I have a lot at one position. It just worked out that way. But later rounds, I am looking to fill categories. What am I short of? What do I need? And like I said, it's almost always speed, average, pitching, it's usually saves.
Mm-hmm. Power, you usually by the end of your draft, you think you're in decent shape? Because I was going to mention Randall Grichuk, 247 ADP. Might be a little bit of a drain. You know, hopefully you've, by let's say if you realize by, you know, the later rounds of your draft and, you know, you're missing out on some power, hopefully you've drafted enough average guys where maybe a guy like Grichuk won't kill you too much because Steamer has him at a 247 batting average, has him at 30 home runs and 85 runs batted in. This guy's also had a problem staying on the field as well, but pick ADP 247 and 30 home runs, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I'm not buying that. Krychek's another guy. Listen, I've had him in a league, a league or two, and so I've bitten it
and
with
we've
him.
Dropped him, you know, too, right?
Right, he gets hurt, he doesn't really play.
Yeah.
Steamer's being very nice to what he can do. He did it 25 home runs last year.
Yes.
But he sees a lot of solo jobs, and he comes with an average that hurts. Now, me personally, you asked me, am I looking for home runs late? No, generally I'm not, because generally I take care of that early. That's how I do it.
Right.
You know, that's how my drafts tend to go. And I think a lot of people are like that, because you're drafting the best players. They're generally the ones who hit the home runs. So I generally don't have a problem with power. For me, it's almost always speed. I mean, almost always speed. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee myself almost every draft, that's where my issue is. That's why I'm trying to change it up this year. Trey Turner, if I have that 5-8, and I don't really know who to go. Listen, you got a gift in getting JD Martinez at 12. I have no idea why you lasted that long in your league. Unless he's DH only, then I can sort of see it. I thought about trading taking him at number 5 in my latest league, but he was DH only in that league, so I didn't pull a trick at 5 with Arenado instead. But like I said, unless I take care of my speed with Trey Turner, I know me personally, that's what I'm looking for. And you need to know that in your draft. How do you draft? You should know. By you, I mean the player, not necessarily Joe Collina. You should know what you're usually short on. And I'm usually short on speed. Mm-hmm. That's where I have to look.
Yeah. Well, these guys, last two guys I'll just mention in the less than 1 minute. Cedric Mullins, 309 ADP, starting center fielder for the Orioles. Steamer has him for 13 home runs, 13 stolen bases, having a tough spring, but supposedly the center fielder's job is his to lose. And another guy that will drain your batting average, though, is Kevin Kiermaier for the Rays, 291 ADP. They have him at 238 batting average, 13 home runs, 17 stolen bases. So both those guys kind of drain your average. So stay tuned for a weekend fantasy update. You got George Kurtz with Cam Stewart. They'll be picking winners for you all day. Want to thank Sean Engel for doing a great job producing our show. Thank you for listening. Roto Experts in the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network Weekend Fantasy Update is next.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl. It's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl. Happy Friday. It's Jen. Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts. Like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.